He's against the death penalty. He's a First Amendment lawyer. He's a partner at the Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm. He's a good man also. Mitch, welcome back to the program.
Hello, thanks.
Now, Mitch, I want to talk about, you know, I mentioned talking about the details of the case, Troy Davis, who on his way to Burger King shot somebody from his car into another car. They had the shell casings. And then when he was at Burger King, he pistol whipped a homeless man. And then the off-duty police officer, Mark McPhail, who tried to help the homeless guy, was shot to death by Troy Davis. I want to talk about the physical evidence of the casings matching and DNA. What is wrong with you acknowledging that there is serious physical evidence in this case? And why won't you give me that to make this is obvious that Troy Davis did this?
Well, the evidence regarding the casings is that the casings at the scene of the dead police officer were the same casings as a prior shooting, but the identification of where those casings came from, it was reliant on the witness testimony. There was no evidence that the casings came from him other than from one witness who recanted and another witness who, when the person recanted, he said it was the other person.
See, Mitch, this is the problem with, no offense, First Amendment lawyers, and everybody who watches CSI, is that everybody assumes that there's so much DNA evidence that after, you know, the 60-minute episode is over on Wednesday nights, that we've got our guilty guy because the semen matched. Okay, not everybody takes the time to masturbate on a crime scene. Shell casings to me are enough, okay? One shooting and then the next shooting. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, you're saying that somebody planted shell casings in multiple places and then coerced witnesses in multiple places? How far? I mean, really, what are we going to have to do here to convince you?
No, it's the same person identified Davis at both places.
So okay.
If the testimony was false, it was false about who fired the gun, period, end of story. It doesn't matter if he fired it in three places or 10 places. It was the same person who testified. There was never a weapon found. All that we know is that the casings at one place were the same.
But this is the problem, Mitch, with your thinking, okay? This is the problem, is that even Troy Davis himself and his attorneys have not denied the fact that he was in the car at the time of a shooting when somebody fired on another car, and he was in the Burger King parking lot. They don't say, oh, no, Troy Davis was home watching football in a different city. They acknowledge that he was there. They just blame another person by the name of Red Coles, who was a witness in the case, and they say Red Coles did all this, another guy. It's like O.J. Simpson. It was somebody else. But the problem with Red Coles is, many judges have asked, hey, please produce this guy so we can at least talk to him. And every time they try to subpoena this guy and bring him into court, the defense never follows through. Why? Because it's obvious the Red Coles did not do this, and it's obvious that Troy Davis did. So if you're going to pin it on somebody else, I'd like you for at least your logic to follow through.
Now, well, what happened, Andy, is that one hearing, when one witness said that it was actually Red Coles who had confessed in prison to doing the crime, the judge criticized the defense for having not brought Red Coles there. Of course, the court had the power to bring Red Coles there itself.
But why wouldn't the defense bring in this other killer if it could help their case? And by this time, we're talking about 20 years of appeals. This is one of the last appeals. So you're dealing with fancy attorneys from the ACLU, you know, kids that went to Harvard who were misguided. You know, because look, I went to Harvard, Mitch, and 98% of those kids have no clue what the real world is like because they were spoon-fed their entire lives. And that's why they're liberal morons, just like those hiker kids from Iran. And we're going to get to them at the end of this hour and the anti-American statements that they made. I've got the breaking news on that, those kids from UC Berkeley. But the point is that Troy Davis had all these special lawyers from these special universities, and if there's this smoking gun guy who confessed to it, why isn't he on TV? Why doesn't a judge, many judges, ask to see this guy, and the defense is like, oh, well, we couldn't get to him, and then they give excuses. These trials take months, Mitch. Even you know that. If you had a smoking gun, you'd produce the freaking guy.
What's important is not the guy who's going to deny that he had confessed to it. What's important is the person who confessed. Here's the question, Andy. Here's the most important question of them all, which is if you are going to advocate for the death penalty.
Which I proudly do. And also, I remind you, Mitch, Rick Perry, who thankfully, as great governor of Texas, has overseen over 235 executions in his tenure. I think I remember when the Republican primary, I felt so proud that night. They were clapping because the moderator, Brian Williams, was asking Rick Perry, how do you sleep at night? And when he said, when you come into Texas and you shoot an innocent person and you kill a cop, you're going to face the ultimate penalty. And I say to you, Mitch, how do you value life if there's somebody out there that has such disregard for innocent people, for women and children and for cops, that they go around shooting people?